As you know, on Friday, the United Kingdom voted to withdraw from the European Union in what has been called Brexit, Britain's exit from the EU. We're continuing to see fallout from that here in the United States as our stock market is down another percentage point and a half today, close to 2% today after a 2.5% drop on Friday. What does this mean for all of us in America going forward, and what was really behind it? Well, my guest Rick Newman has been thinking about this and writing about it in his columns for Yahoo Finance, and I've asked him to join me here today to talk about it. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Good, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing fine. The vote on Thursday night came out to 52 to 48, roughly, for leave, 52% for leave, 48% for remain. Before we get into the impact part of this, my first question for you has to be this. Is it a good idea to let the general public vote on complex economic issues they can't possibly understand?
I think that's called democracy. And in fact, I think people who voted for the UK to leave would tell you, we're tired of listening to the experts because the experts aren't thinking about the ordinary person. They just tell us why we're all better off in the aggregate on account of things like free trade and in the case of Europe, the European Union. If it's better for everybody in the aggregate, that doesn't necessarily account for the people who get left behind or who are the losers in globalization. And I think that's what this is all about. It's the people saying the so-called experts have failed, or at least they've failed to take care of a significant part of the population.
How much of it is truly economic as opposed to an anti-immigration movement?
I think a lot of it is economic, even the anti-immigration movement. And the backdrop for all of this, and what we're, by the way, what we're saying about Europe is generally true of the United States as well. We just have a very slow-growing economy that feels like stagnation to a lot of people. And the data backs this up. I mean, the best single statistic you can look at is household income when you adjust for inflation. And in the United States, it has basically gone nowhere during the last 16 years. It has been much the same story in the UK. So even though these economies are growing, when you see if overall income when you adjust for inflation is stagnant, when the overall income is growing, that tells you what we already know, which is the wealthy are getting a larger share of the income pie, which means the middle and lower classes are getting a smaller share. And that is exactly why we see what's going on in Europe. When you feel like you're falling behind, you're going to be more prone to look around and say, who can I blame? In the UK, they're blaming immigrants, and that led to the really amazing vote last Thursday.
Okay, so what does that mean for them going forward? Will that change policies in this regard? I know that David Cameron, the prime minister, resigned, something that you would never see in this country. Somebody, an elected official who loses a vote, saying, well, that's it, I'm going to leave. They obviously don't want me. But what does it mean for policies there going forward that might change anything or impact the concerns of the general public?
This will have a very large impact on the UK, directly affected. It was their decision, and they will have to bear the consequences. Some economists are saying even if this makes the UK better off in the long run is maybe 5 or even 10 years away, and in the short run, it's going to make things harder. Quite possible it will cause a recession in the UK. Unemployment is likely to go up. Inflation is likely to go up. Home prices are likely to go down. As all this uncertainty gets sorted out over a period of years, and the UK begins this very, very arduous process of renegotiating trade deals with more than 50 countries that they will no longer have trade deals with once they're outside the European Union, and a lot of other things like that. I think it's quite possible we could see some large companies and especially banks that relocate out of London and out of the UK to other European capitals because they need to be in the European Union. They cannot be doing business with Europe from a perch that is outside the European Union. And, you know, it is possible. I mean, the UK is a strong economy. It was before this. It's very possible that the UK could end up better off. But that's going to be a long way away, and who knows what will happen politically by the time the country gets there, if it gets there.
Now, you wrote a piece on Friday on Yahoo Finance entitled, Britain Just Did the World a Huge Favor. What does that mean?
With that, all this protectionist rhetoric in the United States and in other countries, people are unhappy with globalization. They want to turn their back on this global economy and try something better. Well, that's all talk. And now we have an advanced capitalist democracy that's actually going to do what a lot of others are just talking about. So in the UK, it's no longer talk. It is actually action. To my mind, this is the first time we've seen an advanced country like the UK actually turn its back on globalization. Other countries have done it, but it's been countries like Russia, for example, or Cuba. Never a capitalist country like the UK, and not one recently. So we're going to get to see what exactly happens when you bail out of a global alliance or even a regional alliance such as the European Union is. Do you really end up better off at the end of the day, or is this really just sort of burning down the house to get rid of some ants?
You're saying that the UK has now become the world's globalization guinea pig.
It is. It's an experiment for what happens when you know, we hear Donald Trump say, put America first. Well, in the UK, they're not just saying put the UK first. They just did it. So we get to find out. What happens when you do that?
Okay.
And so far, the markets have told us, the stock markets tank, financial market tanks, your currency plunges. A slightly devalued currency might be good for an economy because it makes your exit boosts exports. But plunging in the order that we're seeing the euro doing is definitely not good.
Okay, now let's talk about the stock market, because a lot of people who may be invested in it, particularly in their retirement plans, probably have gulped a couple of times as they've seen this become a big story.
Yep.
Of course, when the Dow went up 200 points on Thursday, that wasn't as much of a story as it going down 200 points today has become. And as you and I have discussed many times, people don't keep the perspective of, oh, it's only a couple of percentage points. It's not like you're being wiped out completely. What should the average American investor be doing or thinking about in relation to
that? Hey, let's try that here. So if Trump is endorsing Brexit, which he basically did, he's basically saying we should try the same thing here in the United States. And I mean, why would any voter believe that? I mean, it kind of feels good when you think we're going to thumb our nose at the so-called global elites everybody hates all of a sudden. But when you do it and suddenly you get punished for doing it, it doesn't look like such a great idea.
Yeah. The other part of that factor also has to be that the demographics of the vote in the UK on Thursday were people under 50 voted to stay, and people over 50, white people over 50 in particular, voted to leave. Well, if you take that to the United States, white people over 50 tend to be Donald Trump people.
Yeah.
People under 50 tend to be Hillary Clinton people. Plus, we have a much larger minority population here than the UK does, and that's still a very, very tough demographic for Trump to win.
Yes. In other words, I think what you're saying is there are some parallels, but they are certainly not. The United States is not a mirror image of the United Kingdom, not by a long shot. And I would add one point to what you rightly pointed out, which is I don't think immigration here is perceived to be as widespread a problem as it has been in the UK. And for instance, we have no analog to the European Union, which is this sort of super government that supersedes the national government of the UK on certain issues, such as immigration. I mean, we have nothing like that here in the United States.
Yep.
We do have an immigration problem. We have 11 million illegal aliens here. But, you know, we do not have the sort of relatively high inflows of migrants the way they do in the United Kingdom. And under the EU rules, there's nothing they can do about people who want to migrate to the United Kingdom. So they have no control over who immigrates, at least who immigrates to the UK from other EU countries. That's not a problem we have. I mean, that just by definition does not exist in the United States. The United States controls who comes here. And border states, clearly, in the South, clearly, there are big issues with immigration there. I just don't think that's a big issue in many parts of the country here in the United States.
Plus, since 2008 and our economic problems here, net immigration has dropped to almost zero. So, you're right. It's not as much of an issue. Last thing I want to ask you about. I see online that there are a lot of people in England, millions of them, who have signed a petition demanding another vote. Is that going to happen?
We're here at Yahoo, we definitely are not experts in the intricacies of UK politics, but I guess we're becoming experts because this all matters. From what anybody here can tell, that is a remote, it's a remote possibility that they will just rescind the Brexit vote. You can't vote one way and then say you don't like the outcome, so let's vote another way. But there are other things that could happen. So it looks like the UK will be getting a new government at some point this year. That government will have to do the actual legislating and the policy making to get the UK out of the European Union. And who knows what caveats might come along with that. And then once, let's say the UK actually leaves the European Union, it can actually apply to be admitted, readmitted back to the European Union. And that takes time, but it's possible. So, it's, you know, they could basically say, okay, we're gonna give this a try. And then once they've tried it for a month, they could say, we want back in. Yep. And then just try to get back into the European Union. But this would all take place over the course of years. And it's hard to imagine the, you know, the economy wouldn't really suffer just from this complete lack of policy direction and vast amounts of uncertainty about what's going to happen yeah. there.
Well, one thing we know about the economic markets, uncertainty equals chaos.
It does. It's worth keeping in mind. It also equals opportunities for those, for people willing to find them. And I will just quickly point out, your listeners should keep an eye on long-term interest rates because they are going down, down, down. They are getting close to and may soon surpass the lowest levels we've had since the end of the recession. And if you did not get a chance to refinance your mortgage the last time around before they went up to the range of 4 or 4.5%, they look like mortgage rates are going back to 3.5% for the best borrowers and possibly even lower. And there will also be some bargains out there in the stock bin. I don't know what they are, but if you're feeling lucky, start buying.
Rick Newman is a columnist for Yahoo Finance and the author of Liberty for All, a manifesto for reclaiming financial and political freedom. Always a pleasure having you on, Rick. Thanks for your time
today.
Paul. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.